Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text Number 37. Tesham vicharatam padyam tirtanam pavane chaya vitasya kim narocheta tavakanam samagamaha. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Dear Lord, Your personal associates, devotees, wander all over the world to purify even the holy places of pilgrimage. Is not such activity pleasing to those who are actually afraid of material existence? Purport. There are two kinds of devotees. One is called Goshjanandi, and the other is called Bhajanandi. The word Bhajanandi refers to the devotee who does not move but remains in one place. Such a devotee is always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. He chants the Maha Mantra as taught by many acharyas and sometimes goes out for preaching work. The Goshjanandi is one who desires to increase the number of devotees all over the world. He travels all over the world just to purify the world and the people residing in it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, Prithiviti Achayata Nagaradigram Sarvatra Prachara Haibe Mordanam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted his followers to move all over the world and preach in every town and village. In the Chaitanya Sampradaya, those who strictly follow the principles of Lord Chaitanya must travel all over the world to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya, which is the same as preaching the words of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. The more the devotees preach the principles of Krishna Katha, the more people throughout the world will benefit. Devotees like the great sage Narada, who travel all over to preach, are called Goshjanandi. Narada Muni is always wandering throughout the universe just to create different types of devotees. Narada even made a hunter a devotee. He also made Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad devotees. Actually, all devotees are indebted to the great sage Narada, for he has wandered both in heaven and in hell. A devotee of the Lord is not even afraid of hell. He goes to preach the glories of the Lord everywhere, even in hell, because there is no distinction between heaven and hell for a devotee. Narayana Parasarve Nakutaschanya Bibhiti Svarga Bhavarga Nardakeshu Apituyarta Darshana. A pure devotee of Narayan is never afraid of going anywhere and everywhere. For him, heaven and hell are one and the same. Such devotees wandering all over the world deliver those who are actually afraid of this material existence. Some people are already disgusted with material existence, being confused and frustrated by material enjoyment. And some people who are intelligent are interested in understanding the Supreme Lord. Both may take advantage of the pure devotee who wanders throughout the world. When a pure devotee goes to a place of pilgrimage, he desires to purify that holy place of pilgrimage. Many sinful men bathe in the holy waters of the places of pilgrimage. They take their baths in the waters of the Ganges and Yamuna and places such as Prayag, Vrindavan and Mathura. In this way, the sinful men are purified, but their sinful actions and reactions remain at the holy places of pilgrimage. When a devotee comes to take his bath at those places of pilgrimage, the sinful reactions left by the sinful men are neutralized by the devotee. Tirti korvanti tirtani svanta stena gadabhrataha. Because the devotee always carries the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, wherever he goes becomes a place of pilgrimage. a holy place for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is therefore the duty of everyone to associate with a pure devotee and thus attain freedom from material contamination. Everyone should take advantage of the wandering devotees, whose only business is to deliver the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya. Tesham vicharitam padyam tirtanam pavanechaya itasya kim narocheta tavakanam samagamaha. Dear Lord, so the verses are very very nice in this part of the Bhagavatam. And the purports are very nice as well. We're hearing glorification of hearing, the process of hearing and chanting. And we're hearing here we're hearing the glorification of the value and the power of a pure devotee. And we're seeing Srila Prabhupada in this commentary. He's acting as acharya. And when I use the word acharya, I mean not simply one who teaches by example, but one very special, unique devotee who has the ability to take what's most essential from the vast practice of bhakti and understanding the audience that he's speaking to can present just what's necessary and important for that audience to advance for generations to come. So here the Pachetas are glorifying the pure devotees of the Lord and glorifying the process of hearing and chanting. And Srila Prabhupada in his commentary has gone on to describe the difference between the Goshtianandi and the Bhajananandi. And both are given great respect and honor. Prabhupada is speaking about the Bhajananandi, and to be a Bhajananandi requires such great qualification, actually, to remain in one place, to have such a peaceful mind that one doesn't feel disturbed or agitated in that situation, but that one can focus purely on their practice and on their bhajan. But Prabhupada is glorifying the position of the Goshtianandi still more. And of course, it is a glorified position because of the compassion of the Goshtianandi, that they go out to help others. But also Srila Prabhupada understands that the audience that he's speaking to needs to know the value of this so that, one, they can take advantage of the Goshtianandi, but also so that they can follow in the footsteps. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, Karmanya Veda Kariste, that your adhikar, your qualification, is to perform karmas, to work. And never be attached to not working. Understanding Arjuna's situation as a kshatriya, he said, you can't live as a bhajananandi. You have to perform activities, you have to perform work. But when that work is infused with the desire to satisfy Krishna, then that work is transformed and becomes pure bhakti. So Srila Prabhupada instructed his disciples to work in such a way. Understanding that in this day and age, as Bhagavatam states, Manda Sumanda Matya Manda Bhagya Padritaha, in general people are very disturbed, the minds are not peaceful, they're very unfortunate in so many ways. And the activities of a Goshtianandi are much more appropriate for us to follow if we want to advance nicely. So Prabhupada's explaining that very nicely. And if we can follow that, then we'll gain everything that the Bhajanandi has. We'll also eventually gain that peaceful mind. Because we'll develop a taste for Krishna service, and with that comes a love for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Actually, by going out and preaching as a Goshtianandi, one becomes purified. For many reasons, they're hearing about Krishna when they speak about Krishna. In this way, the mind's always absorbed. But there's a special advantage also, in that by going and representing Srila Prabhupada, we gain the benediction of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. The process of advancing Krishna consciousness involves hearing and chanting about Krishna. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Kridyantasto Yabhadrani Virunoti Surhitsitam. That Krishna is residing in the heart of the devotee. And when the devotee has this desire to hear and chant his glories, then Krishna cleanses the heart of the devotee of all that's inauspicious. And then Bhagavatam goes on to describe how all that's inauspicious is destroyed, the modes of material nature are overcome, and eventually one is situated in pure devotional service. But previous to that verse, it's described how one gains that desire to hear and chant. The Bhajanandi has that. He can sit in one place with that desire. But we have to develop that. And we develop it through serving the great souls. Mahatseva. Through Mahatseva one gets Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. The desire to hear about Krishna. Vasudeva Katha. Krishna Katha. And in my personal experience, I see that those devotees who for many years dedicated themselves to serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, they develop that desire, that relish for always hearing Krishna's pastimes, for always hearing the Bhagavatam, for always hearing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya. It's very firm. Unless they've made some bad offense somehow or something, through that service, naturally that Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, that relish of hearing about Krishna, develops. And through that, one makes all advancements. Then one can become a Goshchanandi, not just for their own purification, but they're also helping so many others. And Prabhupada's describing here just how powerful such a devotee becomes. The holy places of pilgrimage are glorified in the Shastras. And for ages, people have performed great sacrifice to reach those places. I know that here in India, people would walk for many months even just to visit such a place and have the opportunity to bathe in the Ganga or bathe in Yamuna and free themselves of their sin. But here it's being stated that actually it's due to the Vaishnavas, the devotees that go to those holy places, that they neutralize the sin of those places. So actually the devotee is more powerful than the holy place. That's also described when the sages of Naimisharanya were speaking to Suta Goswami. They mentioned this to him in glorification. They said that that the pure devotee who's fixed in the service of the Lord, that they have the power to purify someone at once. Whereas by bathing in the Ganges, one becomes purified only by prolonged use. So just see how powerful that association is. And one must recognize that. If one wants to advance properly, it's such an important principle. Bhagavatam also states in the 11th canto, Archiyam eva hariye, pujam ye shodateyate, latad bhakteshu chanyesu, sabhakta prakritasmitaha. This is the description of a Kanishtha Adhikari, a devotee who's not so advanced. That they can walk into a temple, they can see Krishna. And the Murti of Krishna is easy to recognize Krishna there. It looks like Krishna, stands like Krishna, decorated like Krishna. So a Kanishtha Adhikari has no trouble recognizing, here is Krishna, I will bow down. But they have difficulty seeing that. It says, Natad Bhakteshu Chanyasu. They can't see Krishna in the devotee. They can't see Krishna where he's not so obviously present. And so then they don't treat them properly. It says, actually, not the devotees nor the people in general. They can't recognize Krishna where he's not very obviously manifest. But we have to recognize that the devotees, Krishna's Shakti is manifest in the devotee. Particularly in the powerful Goshchanandi, Krishna Shakti Vininahe Tava Pravartana. When one has this ability as a powerful Goshchanandi to attract others to Krishna consciousness, it means Krishna Shakti is there. It means Krishna is there. That person represents Krishna. And of course, all the devotees do. So through recognizing that principle, one has the ability to free themselves of so much sin, much more so than even going to the holy places and bathing in the holy rivers. It's a far more powerful process. So it's very important that one recognize that. And then one knows how to take shelter of that devotee, just as one, when they enter into the holy river, they've walked for months, they finally achieved their goal of reaching that holy place. And when they approach the Ganga, or when they approach the Yamuna, they bow to it, and they offer prayers. And then with great reverence, they fold their hands, and they walk into that river, and they dunk themselves in the water, and they pray deeply at that time. So that type of reverence, if we have for the Vaishnava, then we'll attain so much purification, so much more. So that same reverence should be there. And then Prabhupada's describing the mentality of that devotee who we should honor, how they see the world. Often the persons, they describe that we should see no duality. That's advancement. Of course, that's the teachings of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita as well, that we see stones or gold the same. And here's describing that the Vaishnav sees even heaven and hell the same. Prabhupada quotes this very special verse. King Chitraketu was flying in some celestial plane, and he's looking down, and he's seeing his dear friend, Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is sitting in an assembly of great souls. And on his lap is seated his wife Parvati. And externally, this is an unusual circumstance, that when one is sitting with very advanced rishis or sages, that one doesn't have their wife on their lap. But for Lord Shiva, there's no fault in this. But because Chitraketu was his dear friend, he made a joke about it. And often in close friendship, one can joke, criticize each other. There's a certain pleasure when two people are very close in mocking in a joking way, making fun of each other. We see this actually in with Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda, how they are criticizing each other. I know I have one very close friend, and a large part of our relationship is criticizing each other and making fun of each other, but we relish it. As soon as we get on the phone with each other, we're talking like this. So Chitraketu was doing that with Lord Shiva, and he's saying, what is this? How is it that you're sitting like this with this, so attached with your wife on your lap in such a circumstance? And Lord Shiva understood the joke and appreciated it and understood the humor. But Parvati was a little disturbed by this, and she cursed him to become a demon. But then Lord Shiva pointed out, just see, you've cursed him. But Narayana Parasarve Nakutaschanya Bibhiti Swarga Bhavarga Narakeshu Apitu Yarta Darshana. To him, he's such an advanced devotee of Lord Narayana that for him, heaven and hell, he sees no difference. Look, he's not at all disturbed by your curse. So for the devotee, especially such an advanced devotee, the thought of going to hell is not disturbing to them because they don't see it as hell. To them, apituli arta means value. So tuli arta darshana, apituli arta darshana means they see them as being equally valuable. There's no difference at all. Why? Because they're with Krishna wherever they go. They're representing Krishna wherever they go. I know Srila Prabhupada would sometimes quote one Bengali saying, I don't know the Bengali, but that I think some kind of cotton gin, whether it's working in a cotton mill, whether it's in heaven or hell, it has the same business to do. It can simply mill the cotton. So for the Vaishnava, whether they're in heaven or hell, it's the same activity. It's the same consciousness. So we see that, we heard so much last night actually, and Srila Raghunath Maharaj explained so nicely about Srila Prabhupada and what he went through. Going all alone at such an age, suffering heart attacks, and struggling alone in such a difficult place in New York City as such an elderly man. That it was, he walked through hell to deliver others, but he never saw it as hell. In one lecture, actually in 22nd Avenue, back in those very early days, he said, you think I'm sitting in New York, but actually I'm sitting in Vrindavan. For him, Vrindavan, New York, he saw them, because he was doing Krishna's business in either place, it didn't disturb him to be out of Vrindavan. He felt like he was in Vrindavan when he was in New York. And we can follow that example. If we have faith in Prabhupada's words, and if we take that risk and we strive to serve Prabhupada, even if circumstances are difficult, that type of realization will be granted to such a devotee. And I've seen this amongst devotees who I've served with, and I've been in circumstances where I've had some glimpse of this understanding that one can be in very difficult circumstance and be very happy if they're fixed in Krishna's service. So I'm no great philosopher, so I thought maybe I could tell a couple stories about this, and they may be entertaining and hopefully illustrate something. When we would distribute books in America, we'd find ourselves in all kinds of very unusual circumstances. Circumstances that would seem inappropriate place for even a devotee to be sometimes. And sometimes the manifestation of Kali Yuga would become so extreme that you would wonder, how is it possible that we're even capable of serving Krishna here? And I was thinking, one of these circumstances, it illustrated very nicely this principle about how one can be very happy, even in very difficult circumstances. And this was some years ago. I was in a place, Denver, Colorado, and we were distributing books. We were following a group of musicians who were doing concerts. We'd follow their concerts and we'd sell books at their concerts to their fans. So we were in Denver and we had to go we were in Salt Lake City and we had to go to Denver, which means you have to drive all day and then you have to pass through the mountains, the tallest mountains in America, the Rocky Mountains. And that day happened to be Pandavaneer Jalakadasi. So we're all following that, not eating nor drinking any water. So we woke up early in the morning and we begin to drive, and we have to drive all day. And there's no food, no water. And we arrive in Denver for this concert late in the day, having not eaten. And then this concert it was a unique place. It was up in the mountains. And their fans would come and park the cars, and we'd walk through the parking lot and sell the books. But by this time, we're very tired, we're very hungry, we're very thirsty. And it's a very hilly land, so we're having to work very hard. But the devotees, they had that desire to please Krishna, so they were not disturbed. They're happily doing this. And they sold many books that day. But towards the end, as we all were going, the concert had begun, and we were all going home. We were going to stay in the temple for the night. We saw amongst the followers of this band are like, still, there's still some hippies in the world, and they're like that. They look almost like Nagababas, but with some clothes on. And they follow the band, even if they don't go into the concert, they like to be in the parking lot where they meet other people like them, and they're very much taking drugs and doing all kinds of crazy things. And they were upset with the security of this place, and they decided they wanted to riot. And I remember as we were leaving, there was one of these hippies standing on a car saying, "We will show them what it means to riot." And we all left, so we missed their riot. But we heard the next day that there's a big riot, and many police officers and security people there were injured. So the concert the next day was in the same very place. And this time they made the security very tight that you couldn't get into this parking lot without a ticket for the concert. And we had no such ticket. So after the long day the day before, I was quite tired. And when we got to this concert, we pulled our car in and they said, "Unless you have a ticket, you can't go in." So I was thinking, perhaps Krishna wants us to have a break on this day. And then we said, let's try one other way. We went down and we got some of the followers of this group who had tickets. We put them in the front seats of the car. We hid everyone else in the back of the van. And then we drove in to see if we can get in with these tickets. But the security there immediately recognized, we want to see the back of the van. They looked inside and they found all of the devotees that were hiding. So they wouldn't let us in. And so at this point I'm thinking, Krishna, perhaps it's Krishna just wants, we had a difficult day with the Nirjalakadasi and now we should just take a break. But all the devotees that I was with were like, no, we must try somehow or other. We must get in there. There's so many souls in there that have never had the opportunity to receive a book of Srila Prabhupada. Let us do whatever we can to try to find a way. So what happened was, Again, this was a hilly place, and there were police officers there on horseback, and they were looking down to make sure that no one would come in. They could only pass through the roads. And we found some place, but there's some more secluded place, although they could still see with binoculars, and there was a stream there. And we figured if we crossed the stream, we could crawl and try to sneak around and find our way somehow to get up there. So we parked the van there and we started passing the books. And we had to roll up our clothes, get into the stream, and we were passing the books in a chain to get them across the stream. And I remember at this time there was one person who was also one of the fans of the group who wanted to go see that group. And he couldn't get in either because he had no ticket. And he saw us doing this and somehow became very inspired. And he saw us and he said, "This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, this cooperation." And he didn't even know what we were doing, but somehow he thought it was very special. And he took a photograph of it. And we made some friendship with him. And then we got across that stream, and then it was like wartime. We were on the ground and crawling because we were trying to duck behind things so that they wouldn't see us. And we're crawling and worried that if these people see us, they'll come ride on their horse and they'll arrest us for trying to sneak in like this. But somehow we figured we must do it. And after crawling for 45 minutes on the ground and trying to carry books at the same time, we finally got to the road that was beyond the checkpoint. So that we pulled some people over, we said, "Please pick us up," and they picked us up and they drove us up to the parking lot. And then we sold all the books that we had, so we had a very good day there. But it was, while I was doing this, while I'm crossing that stream, while I'm having the books, and while I'm fearing these police officers and crawling so far, trying to hold these books, I was thinking, this is crazy. You know, why are we taking this risk? But it was fun, actually, and it was joyful. And that joy was seen by this person, that just see how happy these people are, that he wanted to take our photograph. And then a funny thing happened later. Later on that year, I was at another concert in a very far away place from this, hundreds, maybe 1,000 miles from this place. And I was in a parking lot, and a car drove up, and I approached it to sell a book, and it was the same person that took the photograph. And he couldn't believe that we were seeing each other like this again, because there are maybe 20,000 cars pulling in to see this concert. And he pulls right up to me in this place so far away. So we spoke and had some nice exchange. And he said, "I took that picture. Would you like me to mail it to you?" I said, "Yeah, please mail me the picture." I gave him my address. Then a month later, I'm in another place, another 1,000 miles away. Another concert with thousands and thousands of cars. And a car pulls up, same person again. And now he's completely shocked. "I can't believe I'm seeing you again." And he said that he'd mail me that picture again. And then it was, again, sometime later, I was in a Bhagavatam class, and His Holiness Dhanadhar Swami was speaking. And he was speaking about this principle, Narayana Parasarve. And he was describing how devotees will endure such difficulties and such unusual circumstances. But for them, it's pleasurable because they're doing it for Krishna. And when he was speaking about that, I was thinking, "Oh, I remember that person that was going to send me that photograph. But he never sent it to me." And right after that class, I walked down into the mailbox that I had, and I looked in it, and there was that letter from that person, and he had the photograph. And I thought, oh, how nice. But it illustrates a point that we could go through such strange and unusual circumstance and difficult circumstance, and circumstance that people try to avoid, but it becomes pleasurable in Krishna's service. And there's one other time I was thinking that the situation was even more insane. We're following a group whose the music is very dark and demoniac. The musicians, they look almost like rakshashas, and they play very hellish type of music. But somehow their fans are attracted to this. And we follow them to different places around the country. And we know the places where they play have different levels of security. Some it's very easy to walk around and sell books, and others it's almost impossible. They immediately stop you and arrest you. So we knew that on the path of this tour, there was one place that's like that. That they won't even let you practically step outside to begin to sell a book. But it was on the path, so we said, "Let's go there and maybe we can do something." And in the morning, we went to the place outside of where they played, but where many people were coming to put gasoline, gas in their car. And there we stepped out, and in 20 minutes I sold maybe 20 books of Srila Prabhupada's, like that. So easy, such a good audience to sell to. But some of you know Yogi Purusha Prabhu. He was in another parking lot right next, right across the street. And he approached one person, and this person was the head of the security at the place where they were playing. And he said, "I've seen you before. Don't even think of coming. You'll be sorry," like this. So he said, "Oh, now what are we going to do?" So we decided we'll wait till very late at night when everyone's coming out of the concert. And maybe then we'll be able to sell a few books and the security won't care. So we waited. And we parked at late in the day. We drove into that parking lot very quietly, parked in a place. And people started coming out, a few people started coming out of the concert. But there was some bomb scare at this concert. So they had to come out in a different way, and they had to walk through a little forest, some trees. So we thought, "Oh, this is perfect. We can just hide amongst those trees and sell some books." So we got out of the van, we started walking towards the woods. But when we were walking, it was the direction of walking out of the place. So at that time, a car pulls up, and it was that security person. And he said, "I told you not to come here." And we said, "Well, we're walking out." So he allowed that. He thought we were leaving. Then we went into the woods and we started selling books. But what happened in that concert is somehow the band that was supposed to play, the last band, who's everyone's favorite, they couldn't play. They were sick or some problem was there. So all the people inside became very upset. And they also began to riot. So by this time it's dark, and there's all this very hellish music is playing, very ghastly music. And we're in the dark in the parking lot, and then this riot begins. And they start tearing down the very place that the concert's at. You hear crack, crack, crack. And they're knocking down the walls. But they're in great ecstasy knocking down the walls. And then they're going into the cars, and they're playing this very hellish music from thousands of cars. They're playing this music very loud, and it's dark, and a riot's going on, and they're starting to light fire to all the wood in the place. And the police and the security don't know what to do, and their helicopters flying above, all over. And there's huge riots going on. But this gives us the opportunity. Now the security is not going to be at all concerned about us. They're simply concerned about this riot. And we went out, and we started selling so many books. And I remember I was standing in one path, and I had a bag full of books, maybe 30 big books. And I'm selling so many. And then at one point, that security person walks right up to me. And he's completely disturbed by everything that's going on. He looked at me, and he became so angry that I had the audacity to try to sell books in his place. And he reached into my bag and pulled out a book and looked at it. And realized, yes, it is these booksellers. And he stuck it back into the bag, and then he just walked away. Because he could do nothing now. And we continued in the dark with these helicopters and this horrible music playing so loud you could barely hear. But somehow in that circumstance, we were able to sell so many books so quickly. I don't know why. I don't know why in that circumstance. It was the ultimate. All these people are totally on drugs. They're rioting. They're playing loud, horrible music. It's dark, you can hardly see anything, and there's these police helicopters flying all around you. It was complete hell. But for the devotees, it was the greatest joy. And I remember, as all the devotees came back at the end, the look on their faces was complete satisfaction. That there was struggle, the circumstances were very difficult and strange and horrible, and exactly where the Bhajanandi, this is the last place they would want to be. But for the Goshtiyanandi, this is a great place to be. Just like for the Kshatriya, they take such pleasure in that fighting on the battlefield. They walk off of there having endured such danger and covered in blood and injured. But for them, this is their satisfaction. So for the Goshtiyanandi, walking through hell is a great pleasure if they can serve Krishna there. And if we take that risk, and if we do it without personal concerns, but if we're able to put that aside and just be concerned, let me try to serve Krishna. And if we do that with the protection and the strength of the other Vaishnavas, then we'll get such benediction from Krishna. and will be able to have some consciousness like this, Narayana Prasarve, Nakutaschanya Viviti. We will be beyond duality. That which the Mayavadis are striving for through their austerities and their study, we'll get that by serving Srila Prabhupada's order. And then in this situation, we can be very happy under any circumstance. Prabhupada was happy in Vrindavan. Prabhupada was happy on the Bowery. It didn't matter to him. So Prabhupada can grant us that benediction through his service. And then Vasudeva Kataruchi will develop that strong desire to hear. And through that hearing, then the heart becomes purified, and eventually we become just like described in this verse, that we'll be able to have such appreciation for Krishna, such pleasure, and ultimately be perfectly happy in Krishna consciousness. So I will stop here and ask for comments and questions, please. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.